All right, turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. Stand when you find that, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We're going to begin reading in verse number 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 13. We'll read to verse 16. The Bible says, "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, a few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I," this is Solomon in his conclusion of all of this, "wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard." I don't want to say too much before we get into this. There's help here for those of us who struggle with how people view us and how people view our commitment. And sometimes, maybe you've heard this, sometimes our job or our role is a thankless job or a role that people don't recognize, they don't acknowledge. And it can be hard to continue to be active and committed and serving when it feels like you're in a thankless job. And so that's what Solomon's speaking to here. And this might touch us this morning. Certainly there's a message for all of us. So let's pray and we'll get into this. Father, pray for your help. We need you today. So I pray that you'd guide us in your path, Lord. I pray for conviction. I pray that you'd enlighten our soul, Lord. And for those that need correction because of the thought that we have today, even my own heart, I pray that you'd help us to be affirmed, convicted, but also affirmed on the right path. We'll give you glory as you guide us in that way. Thank you again for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. All of us in here have had times in the past when the Word of God was being delivered and God spoke to your heart in a very specific way. I mean, there's been times in the past whenever I was in high school and my pastor would do a message and it would bring great conviction to me. And I remember those. I remember the message when I had been in trouble for cheating in my schoolwork and in the Christian school, and it was a chapel service, and the pastor was doing chapel that day, and he was preaching and thundering the word of God and mercy. God was convicting my soul. That was a transformative time in my life. I remember when God was speaking to me. I remember the deep conviction I was under. I remember going to the altar and weeping because who I had become was not who I wanted to be. And so God began to transform my life. I remember where I was sitting and who was preaching. I don't remember everything that he was saying in his sermon, but I remember at camp and where I was sitting and who the preacher was when God was not just calling me to be a pastor, but when I, in my heart, was deciding that I was going to listen to God. Amen. And I remember surrendering. I remember giving my heart. I remember where I was sitting when God did that. It was in the preaching. I remember in Bible college when I struggled not wanting to be willing to be a missionary. I was nervous. I felt I wanted to be a pastor, but I don't want to be a missionary. I don't want to be transported to the Congo or somewhere. You know, somebody needs to go to the Congo. I just didn't want to be that one. And I struggled with being willing. And I remember I was sitting in the back. It was a missions conference. I don't even remember the missionary. And it wasn't even what I would say one of those fiery kind of sermons, but it was a passionate sermon. And I remember God was stirring in my heart to be willing to say, "God, I'll do whatever you want me to do." And I surrendered to say, "Lord, if you want me to be a missionary, I will be a missionary. I'll go wherever you want me to go." And God does that in our life. He puts us in a context where we're hearing a message and God knows what we need. How can the pastor know? He doesn't know. He maybe has a limited knowledge of what is happening in people's lives, but he doesn't know what people truly need, but God does. And he uses the messages and the wisdom that comes from God's word to stir and to bring conviction and to bring encouragement and passion and desire and surrender and all those things. God works in us and he uses the messages. That's the wisdom of God. That's what God wants to do at Western Hills. That's my vision as a pastor. Really ought to be all of our vision that we would not only have a pastor that would deliver the word, but that God would stir in our hearts and we bring our family and we bring our friends and we fill up our pew. Why? Because we want God's word to touch their lives. Amen. And he will do that. Right. He does that in us. He does that in others. Yes. And you know, through the years, we have watched God transform our life. Why we're here today. Think of in the past when a message. I have my stories, but you have yours. When there was a message, and you can anchor yourself to that message when you knew God was speaking to you. And God does that, and I've seen God do that in my own life. And you've seen God do it in others. You know what's exciting is when God begins to use you to be the deliverer. When God uses you to be the one who gives the message. Whether it's a track or an encouragement. And you get to be used of God. We get to be used of God through our testimony. Do you know, like I said about one of my boys when they got back, and they're boys, right? So they're not going to be real vocal about, like, how was it? It was good. What's that mean? It means it was good. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of words there. But I could see it in them. One in particular, I could see, wow, God's working in him. And you know, you don't even have to at times say anything. You just, God's just working in you. And you're not even maybe vocalizing how God is working in you, but people see it. Amen. Like, God, something's different about you. Something stirred up in you. And God uses our life and our testimony and the message to begin to, in time, transform lives. And Solomon had that testimony. I mean, think about it. The wisest man until Jesus that ever lived was Solomon. And he gave wisdom. He gave a lot of wisdom. And God used him to deliver the message. I think about the book of Ecclesiastes. He's called the preacher. He's called the teacher. And so the implication there is the reason why this book exists is because he loves God's people. But the love that he has for God's people is a love that comes from God. We don't produce love. God gives us love. He loves us. He puts love in us. And then that love comes through God, through us to God's people, but it's God's love. So Solomon is being used as the preacher to deliver the message, to deliver wisdom, and people are being touched by this wisdom over and over and over again. Look at verse number 13. I want to show you something. This is Solomon before he begins to show a particular wisdom. Here's what he says. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great to me. So he's talking about a very specific kind of wisdom that God taught him. Now he is being used of God to deliver wisdom. But Solomon, at times, as he's delivering the message and he's watching God change people's lives, there is something that he observes, and then God gives him wisdom as he's making that observation. Now, as we said just a minute ago, Solomon has seen a lot of people transform because of God's wisdom. Remember back in, I think it was in 1 Kings, I think chapter 3, when God gave Solomon that wisdom. One of the first demonstrations of that wisdom was when those two women came, and one had overlaid her child and smothered that child, and that child actually passed away. So in that same night, she switched her baby with another woman's baby, taking the live baby and the passed away baby, leaving in it with the other mother. And it's a horrible, horrible story. And there's no DNA testing in Bible times. There's no way to, you know, decide or discern how can we know which is which. So God, through Solomon's wisdom, was able to discern the correct mother. And you can read that story. It's an amazing way God used Solomon, listen to this, to save a life, to save a family.
Right.
Now remember, Solomon said, well, let's just divide this living baby and one, because we, you know, this is maybe the best way. We'll give one half to this mother and one half to this mother. And the true mother said, no, 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 give her the baby. Whereas the false mother said, hey, that sounds fine to me. And so through that discernment, Solomon is being used of God there, but also many times to save lives. Well, there's something he observed, not in the saving of the lives, but in the response of the people that had been saved.
Right.
Let me say that again. There's something that a wisdom that Solomon observed about the giving of wisdom, and it wasn't the lives that were saved, but the response of the lives that were saved.
Amen.
Look at verse number 14. He tells a story to explain. He said, there was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. So the imagery here, the story, the setting is there's a small city. And within this small city, the implication is there's a small population. And also the idea is that within this small population would have been a small military force. So they would not have had great defenses against any enemy that came against them. And it happened to be that this small city that didn't have great resources and didn't have a great military force to defend themselves were actually attacked. A kingdom, a large kingdom came against them to destroy them and to overcome them, to overtake them. It says that this large military force had a great king. Also, they had bulwarks that were surrounding the city. Bulwarks would have been large weaponry. And so whatever that weaponry would have been, it was to say that the weaponry and the resources of the enemy far outnumber, far outman, and far would overcome this small little city. So here's the point. It's hopeless. Really, for the small city, there's no chance, really. And so that's the idea. Now think about it. Without God, is there any hope for mankind? No, there's no hope for mankind. There's no answer without God. As a matter of fact, that's true for you and me who are truly saved. We can't get saved without Christ. There's no salvation in your own good works. I mean, Jesus went to the cross to die to pay for our sins because we cannot pay for our sins. Okay, so that's true for salvation. And anybody who needs to be saved needs to understand that. You can't save yourself, number one. Number two, you can't live a holy life as a saved person unless you have the Spirit of God strengthening you and you're walking in that Spirit. So we can't do it without Him. We are truly the small city. We will be overcome by the magnitude of this world and the evil of this world. We'll be overcome, overtaken. So we are that small city. Now listen, this is the imagery that Solomon is painting. It's a bleak chance for this city. But then verse 15, look what happens. Now there was found in it, that is in the city, a poor wise man. Now it says poor because that's his economic status. He doesn't have a lot of resources. He doesn't have a lot of money. But he does have this. He's wise. He has wisdom. And I just love this next phrase. You should underline this in your Bible, by the way. And he, by his wisdom, say those next words. Delivered the city. Okay, let's try that again. Here we go. And he, verse 15 is where we are, right in the middle. By his wisdom, say it, delivered the city. So God, through this man's wisdom, delivered the city. So the city was delivered. Saved. Why? Because of the wisdom of this man. Now, you know what's interesting is when you're studying a passage like this one and you see what's happening here, you would think that the emphasis of this passage would be that the city was saved in the sense that, hey, we need that kind of wisdom, right? we need wisdom to save a city. You know? So let's hear it. What did you do? How did you save the city? I mean, I wish the wise, you know, poor guy had a name. He doesn't. He's just wise and poor. Save the city, though. You know, it doesn't say what his tactics were.
Right.
It doesn't say how he did it.
Yeah.
You know, did a strategic planning. You know, and he got into the war room, wrote out the strategy, the blueprints for victory. I mean, obviously, there was some kind of a strategy that was you know, given. Because through that wisdom, whatever that wisdom was, the city was saved.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this. I mean, I hope you're putting this together in your mind. This was an overwhelming force. The imagery is there's no chance for victory. They are easily overcome. Yet, because of this poor but yet wise man's wisdom, the city was delivered. And I'm studying this and I'm thinking, I would love to know what he did. I would love to know. But you know, Solomon doesn't tell us that because here's why. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is not how he saved the city, but the response of the city. Look what they did. Verse 15. By his wisdom delivered the city. Amen. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. So he saved the city, but nobody remembered him. In other words, nobody paid attention to him after that. There was no fanfare. There was no parade. They weren't hoisting him up on the shoulders. There was none of that. And so Solomon tells us this story about a man that was used, and his great wisdom was used to transform and save a city, but the response of the city was to quickly forget. And Solomon said, there's wisdom that I learned from that. It's like we can feel, can't you with me on this, feel that Solomon is almost in a sense talking about himself.
Amen.
To say that he was a man with wisdom and he'd helped a lot of people along the way. But you know what helped me, Solomon says? It's not just the people that were helped and the strategy that was put into place to help those people, but their response. Their response to that wisdom. Their response to being saved. He said, now I have a conclusion. Verse number 16. Here's the conclusion. Then said I, this is Solomon concluding, wisdom is better than strength. We should say amen to that.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's kind of the idea. The city was saved.
Right.
Because wisdom, not because of strength.
Right.
But then he said this. Nevertheless, even though that's true, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. Oh man, this is so helpful. How's it helpful, Pastor? Because along the way, it might be true that God uses us to do things for him. It might be along the way God is working in our lives and he wants to continue to work in our life. And really, I would say in here, we are, you know, in the congregation of a lot of people who want to be used of God. And, you know, sometimes when we're trying to live for God and serve him, there's not going to be the kind of recognition for what we do. And sometimes when there's not the kind of recognition we were hoping for, or maybe just expecting, not that we would have an attitude to expect things, but whenever there's no recognition, it's hard to continue. It can be hard to continue. I think moms feel this way sometimes. Whenever you do so many things and it seems like nobody notices, and the kids, they don't really care. You know, I mean, they do care, because if you didn't do it, then then it would not be good. But it feels thankless at times. And Solomon is saying here, there's great things that are happening, and there are great things that happen But sometimes when God uses us, we're not recognized. As a matter of fact, there are times, there will always be times when we surrender to God and we do things and we're not going to be recognized. It's going to happen. You know, I think sometimes stuff like that, you know, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about America, the United States of America. Think with me about it. What a great country we live in.
Yeah.
I mean, our country is so great that we get to do what we do. We have the wealth that we have. We have the freedom that we have. But yet there is a kind of despising of this great country that's taking place in the world we live in. And sometimes, if we're not careful, even in our own lives, we forget, don't we? What do we forget? Well, we forget the wisdom that got us to this place. Did you know that our forefathers that are, you know, foundation pieces of this great country had conviction and stood for principle, who lived and gave their all, and some who died so that we have what we have today?
Amen.
And so we live in a great country, but it's not by chance. We live in a great country because of those who before, because of wisdom, did what they did so that we have what we have. Maybe we could say it like this. A city was saved. Yet, there are those in our country who have forgotten that. And so there are times when the blessing of wisdom comes on a people, but they forget. And there's neglect of that wisdom, of right. Those that had that wisdom.
Yeah.
Think about Jesus with me. Remember the 10 lepers? When Jesus healed the 10? And then they went away. Could you imagine if you were one of those 10 lepers and how excited you would have been and how amazing that would have been? I mean, you're healed and there was no hope for you. There was no chance for you. There's no cure for leprosy. Here's what lepers do. They leave the city and they're not allowed to come into the city. And there's a colony and you live there for the rest of your life. And there's no hope for you. And so Jesus healed the 10 and they went away. And we can imagine with what great joy and rejoicing. But yet there was one. He turned around and he came back. And he kneeled. And do you know what he said to Jesus? He said, "Thank you." You know what Jesus said? Were there not 10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he said this. Where are the 9?
Yeah.
Can I say that they were blessed of the wisdom of God, but they forgot? And so, along the way, there are those who are used of God, and they serve, and they commit, and they give, listen, and they sacrifice, and they do for God. And then as we sacrifice, and as we do for God, and as we invest, and as we give ourselves to those that God has called us to serve, and along the way, those that are recipients of that wisdom and of those blessings, they forget. You know, it can be hard to continue whenever what you're doing feels thankless.
Right.
It can be hard to stay faithful when it seems as though those whom God has called you to serve aren't recognizing you. And it begins to affect our spirit, our level of commitment, our desire to be faithful. You know, I was thinking about this. In Nebraska, I told this story. There's many times when I would, on Sunday nights, go home and I would just cry. And I would ask the Lord, why do you want me to be here? Because there's hardly any people. And I would feel like I was wasting my life. I felt like I was wasting my ministry. I was where God wanted me to be. I was doing what He wanted me to do. I was trying to be faithful, and people just were not interested. They wouldn't come. And so I wondered, why am I here? I mean, why am I doing this? And every time I'd go to my knees, the Lord would say the same thing. You're right where I want you to be. Just keep on going. It's almost as though the Lord says the wisdom of God is going to be delivered to people who are going to be blessed by it, but then they're not going to be thankful for it. So what do we do? Well, Pastor, you just keep doing it.
Right.
Because, listen to this, we don't do what we do so we can be recognized.
That's right.
Please watch, listen. This is going to get good here in just a second. We don't do what we do so people will look at us and say, thank you. That's not why we do it.
Nope.
If you're doing it for that, you're going to be disappointed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because people are going to forget you.
Right.
Like, oh, you know, our demographic in the church, it's like nobody cares and, you know, they forget about us. Or there's this particular thing that I've done and it's like nobody cares. And we get upset because we're not being recognized. Listen, if we do what we do because we're going to be recognized or not, then you're going to be disappointed.
Right.
So why do we do what we do? Listen to this. We do what we do because God gives us a chance to save the city. You ready for this? I mean, this is where it gets awesome. The wise but poor man, he wasn't recognized. But do you know what? He still saved the city. He wasn't recognized, but the city was saved.
Yeah.
So question, what matters more? That you're recognized or that we get to save the city? That's pretty good wisdom.
Very good.
And Solomon understood something about wisdom, and the wisdom that he understood about wisdom is it's not about our recognition. It's that God gets to, that we get to be used of God to save lives. So what do? We deny ourselves. You know, Jesus said that. He said, take up your cross. You want to be a follower of me, you're going to have to die. You're going to have to deny yourself. Take up your cross, which means die to yourself and follow me. He said, Paul said this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's not about my recognition. It's about Him using us to save lives. So, you might this morning be struggling. Maybe. I think that the help here is that sometimes we get upset because we're not being recognized. We're not being, you know, noticed. And it causes us to feel like we don't want to be as active. There are times when people come to church. Listen now. They come to church and they're looking for particular things. You know, Pastor, I want to have an interview with you. Well, they want to have a meeting, but really what they mean is they want to have an interview, you know. And in that interview, here's what they're trying to discern, is if what our church has what they're looking for. In other words, if we're offering what they're wanting. So the idea is there are times when people are looking for a church that recognizes them. Well, if that's our spirit, we're going to be disappointed.
Right.
Along the way, we're going to find out that as we commit ourselves, we're not going to be recognized. Not like we expect. And so we have to decide, you know, it's not about me being recognized. It's about, am I where He wants me to be? Am I doing what He wants me to do? And how can I be committed so that God maybe could use me to save a city? Because that's what I want to be a part of. God's working in Glendale, isn't He?
Yeah.
And I believe He is through Western Hills Baptist Church. And I believe that through His wisdom, the city can be saved.
Yes.
We might not be recognized, but we get to be used of the Lord to save a city. So, continue. Submit. Decide to deny yourself. Decide, you know, it's okay if I'm not recognized. It's okay if I'm not held in high esteem. If I'm forgotten, it's all right. Because I get to be used to help save the city. That's the wisdom. That's the wisdom. And I hope that helps this morning. It sure was a help to me.